Now, I won't read out the question. I will just answer the question, and that's because. So I'll do that quickly before getting to. Well, it's an important part of today, really. So I'm glad. Many times we haven't heard a teaching like this. Begin to wonder, how do I best therefore express my concerns? How do I best express my maybe pains, my situation, circumstances? How do I best do that without contradicting my faith? Without so there's a pain in my body and someone wants to know how I'm feeling. Okay, how do I do that? This person, this direct question was about, faith for a job and then, all that. But it's still the same principle. How exactly do I communicate myself? We must be careful. Number one, faith doesn't train or teach us to doubt or deny things. Faith also doesn't allow us to just create balloon expressions. We've seen a lot of that happen, and then people seem to have shipwrecked their faith. There's a whole lot to say on that topic alone. When the word is abundant in our hearts, what to answer usually will come. Okay? But on a very, very flat, plain level, especially if it's a dear person like a spouse, a friend, someone close to your heart and all, you could say what it is, but then say what you believe for. It's so simple. So you applied for a job, you want to know if you got it. Things seem late, nothing seems working. And then you ask, how far? Oh, it's not out yet, but I believe that, and then you add that in. How's your health? Maybe a person knew there was something not okay with you, or person is seeing that there's something not okay with you. How is it? You could do well. I'm fine. If a person gets that language and knows, oh, she's standing. But sometimes, and very many times, it's okay to say, well, this is going on with this part of my body, but I've been speaking to it and it's responding, and I know it's going to get better and better and better. You're in a process. I'm going to explain myself quickly. You're in a process. So there's nothing wrong with that person knowing this is what I'm dealing with. Okay? You're in a process. Let's just jump straight up to Romans and then fourth chapter. Romans chapter 4, and we pick it from the just straight 17. I was going to use 19, but 17, and we'll quickly do that. Romans 4, 17. Now, looking at exactly how God and Abraham related, you'd realize, oh, a lot of faith was involved. But I particularly like how the NIV, dealt with a particular portion there. So King James here says, as it is written, I have made you. Please note the use of the tenses. I have made you, not I will make you, but as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls things that be not as though they were. God calls things, and this is faith. Remember again, words. I have made you. I have made you as it is written. How was it written? Because it was said. God said it, and then Abraham, of course, gave the account, and then the accounts traveled till someone wrote this down, all right? But we know, of course, that the first five books in the Bible were written by Moses, and God also would have revealed these things to Moses. So Moses wrote them. Now, as it is written, so it was written, I have made you, tense, I have made you father of many nations before him, whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead. To quicken means to make alive. This is King James, all right? And he calls things that be not as though they were. This is a major area of faith. You use your words to call things that be not. You call things that be not as though they were. I'll stay here a bit. You call things that be not as though they were. Things that be not. You call things that are not existent. You call them as though they were existent. How do you do that? Let me give an example of you have a cat with you here, and then you want to give your dog something. You don't go out and start screaming, cat, 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 cat. Why? Cat is already beside you. What you want is a dog. So you call doggy, doggy, whatever your dog's name is, doggy, 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 doggy. And you expect the dog to respond to you. Why? You're calling something to come to you. All right. You want a friend to be where you are. You pick your phone, you call. The person isn't where you are, but by calling, the person begins to come. So you call things that be not. You call things that be not as though they were. So a major area of faith is you understanding, I have to say what I want. The way to create it is to say it. Did you get that? God calls things that be not as though they were. So the way to have it, the way to create it. So God simply said, back to that scripture, please, Gabriel. You know, that Romans 4:17, it says, I have made you. I have, not I will, I have. So for the believer, you are blessed. You don't say, oh God, when would you bless me? We stay with what has been written. It is written, I have. And that's why many times, like I said yesterday, prayer is basically words. Okay, it's basically words. Bible says you bring forth your strong reasons. It's basically you mirroring the word of God back to him. Not you complaining, oh God, things are wrong, things are horrible. When will you bless me? Why have you not blessed me? It's clear. Jesus died, rose again. He sat down, all right, seated together with you in heaven. He has blessed you. So I have made you father of many nations before him whom he believed in, God who gives life to them and calls the things that be not as though they were. 18 now, please. So we see, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Who against hope? This is Abraham now. Who against hope believed in hope? So the case was hopeless, but he believed that he might become the father of many nations. According to what is written, so shall his seed be. Verse 19 is what I want to show us now. 19, but I would want to switch it. Verse 19, and then I'll make a switch. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because when we want to understand faith, we and I've seen that over the years. Nobody wants to say the wrong thing. Nobody wants to be caught confessing the wrong thing. One will end up saying the right thing. But when you go to meet a doctor, for instance, and you want to describe what's happening to you, you have to describe what's happening to you to the doctor. You tell the doctor, doc, this is what's going on. Doc says, oh, do you feel a pain here? Yes, I do. Do you feel a pain there? No, I don't. Do you feel a pain here? Yes, I do. What about that one? Yes, I do. What about this one? No, I don't. You're saying it to the doctor. Someone says, aren't you at that time confessing negative things? You are describing a situation. Hold on here. You believe you are healed. Now, this is where most of us make a mistake. Because I'm now either on medications or I'm talking to a doctor, I abandon my faith. So the doctor says, you'll be fine in 2 or 3 days. Everything's going to be all right. Then suddenly my new revelation is I will be fine in 2 or 3 days. I could even tell people, oh, how are you doing? Well, I saw my doctor. My doctor said I'll be fine in 2 or 3 days. So there's nothing to be bothered about. All right. And for some people, when a doctor says, oh, this is critical, this is so bad, you might be dead in 6 months, that becomes their new revelation. But the doctor says, oh, please pray for me. It's really bad. My doctor said, I'm dead in 6 months. So you find that at that time, the words of a doctor, okay, is stronger on their hearts over and above whatever it is that God said to them. And so it's not because they were trying to describe a situation. Is they threw away their faith. They threw away their believing. Isaiah 53 verse 1 says, whom has believed our report? So there is a report to be believed. You have to hold on to the word of God and say, this is what God said. Now, you don't go to the doctor's office and start arguing. The doctor says, oh, this is wrong with your knee. No, there's nothing wrong with my knee. There's nothing wrong with my knee. You were the one that went to the doctor's office. I believe, I mean, just for respect for the person you went to meet there, listen to what they want to say. Doctor might say, well, this is bad. That is, note the things, go back home and target the word on every single thing. Target it. Target it. Fire the thing. All right. We've got to do this. All right. We've got to, you know, we've got to do this. You've got to really, really like target the thing. Okay. I think there's a technical glitch. I'll just read out the NIV. For that Romans chapter 4. But I mean, you could also just, guys, open it up. So Romans 4 and then the 19th verse, and then we'll switch to the NIV. I would like to encourage you, if you do not have the U version, just download it. It's great. You could have as many Bible, you know, translations with you as you want, you know. All right, so let me switch NIV. So the 19th verse now. 19th verse says, Romans 4:19, without weakening in his faith, Abraham, that's he, I'm putting Abraham, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's, you know, womb was also dead. He faced the fact, but he didn't weaken in faith. So I realized that too many of us have not learned how to do both. How to face the fact and how not to still weaken in faith. Did you get that? How to face the fact. So what's wrong with you? Nothing. You know, because you don't want to weaken in faith. So you just, no, nothing, nothing. You know, but that can fly with everybody. I mean, Jerry Savelle, I mean, solid teacher and preacher of faith, one of the people that impacted me growing up as a Christian, still blesses me. Some few years ago, went to the doctor he went to the doctor's office himself. Everything was fine, but somewhere I think a nerve was touched. I'm trying to, you know, I don't want to mix up, you know, that story with another story. You know, I think a nerve was touched and his whole system shut down. Jerry Savelle became paralyzed, instant memory loss. I mean, he saw Kenneth Copeland, could not even say, this is Kenneth Copeland, couldn't remember anybody. All right. It was horrible. All right. He had to be in the hospital. People had to come. I mean, release their faith, pray with him. And this is where the words we might have either spoken ahead of ourselves or stored up in our hearts would usually be great. Cut long story short, that man is preaching all over the world, right? He's back on his feet. But I'm going here to say, at the end of the day, when recovery began, when he now could move a little, he had to take steps. He talked about when he and his granddaughter were in the house and he told her to take him to where he likes motorcycles, right? And vintage cars and all of that. So he said, take me to the garage. You know, that was like the Holy Grail. Take me to the garage. And one by one, he was starting the motorcycles. I mean, just those things excited him. So how he connects to faith, he connects to his own faith. He just loved, he was exercising himself, basically, because he couldn't move properly. All right? He had to stretch out his arms. And at that point, if his granddaughter says, Grandpa, how you doing? He would need to say, this is it, but this is where we're going in Jesus' name. Do you understand that? How do you face the fact? I'll read the verse again. You know, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead. Watch verse 20. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, giving glory to God. You know, because someone had asked me last night too. I mean, if someone says, someone says, do you have sinus infection or catarrh or something? You know, I could say, no, I don't. So it depends on how you ask. I could say, no, I don't. It might be because you're fighting within you. So that's not a denial. Yeah, fighting that because it's all on you. I don't have to say. That could come up. It's like I said, let it come from the abundance of your heart. No tailor-made answer. But if you say, oh, yes, this something happened 3 days ago, but I'm better now and in Jesus' name I believe I'm fine. So what do? You answer, this is it, but you've gone to, but this is it. Another thing I need to maybe quickly add is, where do you put your but? Where do you put your if? Okay, so where do you put the but? So I am healed, but I feel weak. Doesn't work. Oh, yeah. The job or whatever it is, or I was laid off, but I believe God supplies all my needs, so I know I'm fine, because people have been laid off and they didn't know how to say they've been laid off. So are you going to work? Yes, I'm going to work, but they didn't go anywhere. You know, so in order for us not to lie, I mean, not to, we because we believe we have a new job, so we're careful what to say. So sometimes we're confused as, what do we say? You know, oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm not going to work today. I'm in between jobs. Sefini, simple. You know, It's okay. Or I say, oh no, I'm at work. Now another person could say, I'm at work out of a revelation of I've set up a table in my house. I believe I receive. So up until the other one, this. So from the abundance of the heart. But don't put yourself in a confusion. Just know where to put the but. This is going on, but this is what I stand on and this is what I believe. Now, sometimes the question is, the person you're talking to, the person understand all of that? Maybe then you now just give, you know, oh, do you have, oh, no, I'm fine. It's not anything to be bothered about. I think that's fantastic. Oh, how's your health? Oh, not something to bother about. I'm good. And, you know, Jesus is keeping me strong. Great. Do you understand that? So what to tell people, let it come from the abundance of your heart, but don't be under any pressure such that you don't now have to fabricate an information. Please get this. And can we read this again? But we need everyone to master this area in the Bible. NIV is what I'm using. NIV for this place. NIV says, from verse 18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He faced the fact, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that the power that God had the power to do what he had promised. I mean, he was convinced. So the fact was there, but the facts didn't move him. So we need to learn how to handle both. If you can't take your time, grow on it. But we need to learn how to handle both, because there are cases where you need to say something and then still stand on your ground. You have standing faith. But someone else needs this. Please hear this. While you might think of what do I say to the person, and you maybe even get the right thing to say to that person, saying it to someone or answering someone is still not as important as you speaking to the mountain yourself and the conviction in your own heart. Did you get this? I'll repeat it. You might get it right on what to say to someone. You said the right words. You went through the right, you know, statements of faith, as it were. But it's not as important. Jesus in Mark 11:23 says, whosoever will say to the mountain, not whosoever will answer other people. Now, there's a time to answer. We'll see a verse for that in Romans chapter 3. So there's a, when you are answered and when people criticize you, what do you say? You need to be full of the word and stay with the word. We'll see that. But I'm saying that is usually supposed to be a byproduct or product of your own personal conviction and your attack on the situation. Is this clear? You might answer well, but you're not attacking the situation well. So it's just a Christianese effort. You just sound great. But you must, I beg you, grasp the situation, fire the mountain with your faith, maintain conviction, then allow the abundance of your heart be what to respond to people. Then I'm responding to people. No, come from the abundance of your heart. You've spent time in a secret place. You've meditated on the word. You're full of, I cannot lack a job. My health is fine. Then you won't need to think of what to answer. You know, you won't need to. Kenneth Hagin, there's this mini book of his, God's Medicine. So beautiful a book. Really beautiful. Simple. Beautiful. If you could get a copy of that book to read, please do. Beautiful. I mean, his daughter had, stuff on her body. And then the nurse was going to come check on her. And his wife wrote a letter, you know, letter writing days. The nurse is going to check Patsy. What should we tell the nurse? And Ken Hagin spent 3 days in meditating on healing scriptures in about 4 hours in each day. He would meditate 1 hour, sleep 1 hour, meditate 1 hour, sleep 1 hour, and did that about 4 or 5 hours each night for 3 days. And he wrote back, she's healed. He didn't write back, so we're going to tell the nurse. No, because there's no need to tell the nurse. We have attacked the situation. So we are responding from the abundance of our heart. I believe this is helping somebody. And I'm glad the question was asked, you know. All right, please watch this again and again and again. And it was sinking. But I think I've said enough we could work with. Attack the thing. You might answer people correctly. You might say stuff to people around you, but you've got to attack the thing. You've got to. People have come to prayer meetings. They share testimonies. And, you know, sometimes you're sharing a testimony because that's what someone said they did. You know, some people believe, oh, if I've been healed halfway, you know, I've done a bit of chemo or something, I can come out and I'll share it. And in me sharing it, I'll receive the rest of the healing. That doesn't always work. That doesn't always work. You could as well keep quiet and finish the thing. If God by revelation says to you, go share the testimony, then do it. But don't do it because someone did it. Because you now come out on stage and say, oh, glory to God, I'm healed. And I believe, and sometimes I'm sure you've heard this kind of testimony before, I believe for the perfection. I'm like, this person could be in trouble. Now you've opened it up and people will come after service, oh, congratulations. God. So the feeling, the work you need to go and do, you're already enjoying, you know, victory celebration as though you were done. You got to get this. You're already, oh, congrats. Oh, yeah, it's perfect in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All those side amens and talks might not cut it. Sometimes you sit down and get this thing done all through. All through. You're done with it. If the Lord says, go and, you know, testify like he did to those guys, you know, go show yourself to the priest. Oh, praise God. That was a revelation. That was an instruction. Don't do it in hope. Maybe if I do that, God will now perfect it and God will work on it faster. Don't hurt yourself. Finish up on the stuff. Creflo Dollar went to the doctor. He was diagnosed with having a very high degree of prostate cancer. He went back home and he shut himself down. Shut stuff down. You know, stayed on the word. Came out, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, I can't find a thing anymore. Great. He dealt with it. All right. Some cases take longer. Some don't take, you know, some cases take longer. Some don't take as long, but I'm just going to encourage you. Please deal with the situation and respond from a point of revelation. Respond from a point of faith. There's nothing wrong in saying, oh, this is it, but I believe I received this. All right. There's nothing wrong. And sometimes when it comes to maybe job, you know, location, some of those things, sometimes you also might need to be sure. I, many years ago, was trying to do my internship somewhere. I wanted a place and the Holy Ghost was leading me somewhere else. I wanted a place. I wanted it. The Holy Ghost was leading me somewhere else. I was using my faith for where God was not leading me to. All right. I don't want to jump into too much of that. I know I've taught a few things, you know, God being initiator of faith and all, but I can't tell that right now. But I have said, yes, let me jump out. Okay. So. But I believe, so let me know if there are more questions, guys, please. You might fire on here, but you might as well just send email. Don't forget, word up, email is just word up, like, you know, wordup@gmail.com. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But that was a good way to start. Thank you once again for question. Like I said, someone had asked something similar last night, but you know, glory to God. Amen. Already good. All right. John chapter 1, verse 1 again. John 1, 1. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you have a headache, it's okay to say, hey, of course, man's, yep, it's angels. Yep. All right. Thank you. I was just trying to read a comment that I was supposed to say. Praise God. So John 1, 1. Guys, stay with me here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You got to get this. In the beginning was the Word. Why Word? Why? It could have taken any other form, any other, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, verse 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The same was in the beginning with God. I mean, we already knew that, but he's emphasizing this thing was in the beginning with God. If God could not function in his own journey without the Word, neither could you and I be effective in it. It's so amazing. The way we live our lives right now is, once I'm financially okay, I'm okay. No, once you're financially okay, it does not mean you're okay. You might not still be in the very center of the will of God for your life. And all because you have enough money to meet your needs, pay your bills, does not mean. I mean, one classic example that I like, it's shocking. You know, I remember when Reinhard Bonnke went home to be with the Lord, you know, and someone posted on Facebook, you know, put a picture of Reinhard Bonnke and put a picture of Kenneth Copeland, you know, and the person was saying, I mean, more like Reinhard Bonnke is the authentic man of God, not like this other guy that's just a prosperity, materialism preacher, blah, blah, blah. And it's sad when you see people do that, because Reinhard Bonnke, you know, Reinhard Bonnke's ministry was mainly funded. Kenneth Copeland was a huge partner, major partner of Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. It's amazing. So people don't know that. They don't understand the generosity and the largeness of heart of Kenneth Copeland. It happens that he's in the eye of the storm. And Mark chapter 10, verse 30 already said you would be in the eye of the storm. 29 into 30 of Mark 10 says, anybody that leaves father, mother, house, wife, brother, sister, lands for my sake and for the gospel's sake, verse 30 says, he will receive, okay, a hundredfold. Now in this life, thanks Gabriel, you receive houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life. So, you know, it comes with a package. All right. One of the biggest givers in ministry that I know about, that is alive today, is Kenneth Copeland. All right. As at maybe like 10 years ago, he had given out 26 private jets. As at 10 years ago, he wasn't giving them out because he had 10 or 15. He was obeying God. I remember a particular time he said the Lord told him, this is a year for double. So he needs to do double work. So he released his faith for double. Guess what? He said he called Reinhard Bonnke and said, Reinhard, this is the year for double. So double all your outreaches for this year and let's have a budget. I'm like, who does that? You need enough funds to even run your own huge global ministry. Then you're calling another preacher and telling him, double. You to double and send the budget. Yeah, because that's how he functions. He has a list of ministry on his own list that he believes for funds in order to have for all of them. Come on, guys. I mean, you know. Okay, I've seen the question. I'll come to it. Just a minute. You know, well, more than a minute, not a minute, you know, thank you. You know, so I'm going to the place of the word. You have to realize it's not just me, my life, I'm okay. Hi, there's a lot to carry. There's a lot. I mean, many of us like Keith Moore. I'm also watching a meeting recently and Keith Moore was at a minister's conference saying, how many of you here has Kenneth Copeland personally been a blessing to? Raise your hands. I mean, Kenneth Copeland has a TV and the preachers, they are there for free. And like, what? Why am I using him as an example? Because over the years, he's proven that Genesis 12, all right, God telling Abraham, you're a blessing so that you could be a blessing to others. I've blessed you to be a blessing. He's one major person exemplifying that. All right. So how do you get there? From not having even food to eat? They didn't have a pot in their house to cook. They were cooking food in a coffee pot, those tiny small coffee pots. That's how they began. It's the word. It's the word. And this is what I wrote down here. Words are the raw materials that God used to create. Words are the raw materials for creation. Please, you might need to write that down. Words are the raw materials that God used to create. Words are raw materials for creation. Of course, the flip side, words are used for destruction. All right? Words are used for destruction. But let's stay on this one. Once again, words are the raw materials that God used to create. Words are raw materials for creation. So we're going to now see the third part of that, John 1, John 1:3. The third verse, and then So Larry needs to run fast today. All right. So John chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you. So verse 3 of John 1 says, all things were made by him, and then without him was not anything made that was made. You've got to understand this verse. Everything, okay, you know what? Please, can you read this verse where you are? Please, go. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Again, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, we're going to do a switch. Watch this. All things were made by the Word. You remember from verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God. All right. So, all things were made by the Word, and without the Word was nothing made that was made. Can we do that together? All right, go. All things were made by the Word, and without the Word was nothing made that was made. You're already skilled or knowledgeable with Genesis chapter 1. So that already, without us going there, should let you, you know, just, it should be cross-referencing in your mind already right now. God said. Remember that? Great. So we'll see this again. All things were made by the Word, and without the Word was nothing made that was made. Are we getting this? Again, please. All things were made by the Word. Without the Word was nothing. Listen, this is the Word of God. Without the Word was not anything made. So all the other things we have, the raw material was already in the earth. Glass is from sand and paper is from trees. And I'm sure you know all of that already. So everything we have today, the raw material is from within the earth. Watch this. The raw material of that raw material is the Word of God. Words. Is that clear to you? The raw material for the things we call raw materials. You're a carpenter, you work with wood and all sorts. You say, hey, my raw material, wood and whatever. What put that wood in place? Words, God's word, all right? Whatever it is, everything in this earth. So Jesus will speak to the fig tree and it will respond because words created it in the beginning. So the fig tree understood the parent word. The parent word, all right? It was words that separated water from water, created firmament. So it was word that put oxygen and everything in place. So when there was a storm and Jesus said, peace, be still, it understood its parent word. Words put it in place. It has to respond to words. Do you understand that? Now, Hebrews 11 and the third verse. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Thank you there, Jesus. So that we see this thing. It's important. And we've said yesterday, God's word works. All right. Now we're adding words work. Words work. All right. They work for or against us, but they work. Hebrews 11, 3. Through faith, we understand, watch this, that the worlds, yes, aeons, you know, but words, it's still worlds. If you want to see it as earth, which it's not naturally, but dispensation seasons and all of that. But then it is still all framed how? By the word of God, so that the things which we see, they are not made from things that do appear. So sometimes we've had to say, God created the earth from nothing. No, the raw material were words. Dispensations and all, words. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word. Framed, to put together. The word frame is to arrange, to put together. So God arranged it. So if you feel your life is out of order, you feel your life is out of place, God used words to frame the world. You can use words to frame your life. So question is, what are you framing? Sometimes we've framed our lives with a negative. We've framed our lives with impossibilities. We've framed our lives with hardship. We have framed it. But you look at what you want. Look at what you desire and frame. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not created from things that do appear. So words are raw materials. I'm sure you got that. Okay. So words are so important. Okay. You and I got born again. How? We heard the word and then we spoke the word. Did you get that? We heard the word. Somebody preached to us. And Romans 10, 17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So we heard it. And then what did we do? We spoke it. Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believes and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So as big as being born again is, as big as crossing from darkness into light, from death to life, that complete switch from the kingdom of the enemy to the kingdom of God, it was just your mouth that did it. I mean, of course, your heart and then your mouth, but you had to verbalize, you had to vocalize something. Do you see how powerful this is? A whole switch from the kingdom of the devil, from the power of the enemy, a whole switch from darkness to light. Words that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. In Romans 10, verses 9, and then verse 10. For with the heart man believes, and then with the mouth confession is made. Words. So words are that important. You heard the word. Okay, but it's amazing. You know, I read it this way. You heard the word about the word that became flesh. Do you get that? You heard the word, Romans 10, 17. So faith comes by hearing and hearing. You heard about the word, John chapter 1, verse 14. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So you heard the word preached about the word that became flesh, all right, and died for us. And then when we did this, we were recreated by the word. Did you get the connection? You heard the word. You heard the gospel preached about Jesus, and Jesus is the word that became flesh. And then when you heard all of that, the word of God changed you, recreated you. 1 Peter 2:23. So it's just words. I mean, as big as salvation is, words. We heard words about the word of God that became flesh and died for us. And then we spoke words that we believe in the word, and then we were recreated by the word. I'm not trying to rhyme, but it's just scripture. Okay? So first Peter chapter 1 and then the 23rd verse lets us know. He says, 1, thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever. So the same word of God is the word of God that got you and I born again. Did you get that? You heard the word about the word Jesus, and then you confessed that word, and that word recreated you. Now let's see James chapter 1 and the 18th verse. James 1:18. Glory to God. James 1:18. I hope you're writing. I would love to believe that, you know, you're writing all these things down. It would help you. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Of his own will, he begat us with the word, so that we should be a kind of first fruits of creatures. So we're born again by the word. We believe in the word. Guys, we grow by the word. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. So you're born by the word. You heard the word of the word. You confess the word. The word recreated you. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So you say, I want to grow. Stay with the word. Stay with right teaching. You sit with the right teaching of the word, all right? Stay with the word and chew on it. Let's see 2 Peter now. 2 Peter from chapter 1. And see again the relationship with the word. So I grow. I feed on the milk of the word. And so you know, sometimes some people like to brag, you know, and then say, hey, Me, I don't do milk. I don't do milk. Everybody had to do milk, and everybody does milk. Okay. You don't have a new baby right now and then start stuffing the baby up with chicken and beef, and that baby does milk. Everybody does milk. So the issue is not doing milk. The issue is now, is that what you want to keep living on and feeding on? Second Peter chapter one from verse one. So we'll now see, you know, what are the relationships we have with the word? You know, so we see Simon Peter, a bond servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith through righteousness of God, and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2, please. grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. That's the word. And the Lord just goes, well, I want to increase in grace. I want to increase in peace. You know, sometimes you just run after people and say, oh, grace, grace, I celebrate grace, I celebrate grace, I celebrate grace. You know, so you have also to learn to sit. Grace and peace, not added, will be multiplied through your knowledge. Through your knowledge. Sometimes you pick materials of ministers and ministries I believe God has sent you to, all right? And you digest them. You digest them. You know, you digest them. You digest them. You sit again and again and again. And just realize that something happens to you. Grace and peace will be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, please. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, once again, through the knowledge. So because we like to quote the A part, oh, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, but you can't know about what has been given. Neither could you maximize what has been given if you don't have the knowledge. So according as the divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, we'll stop at 4. And then see this again, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, the word again, that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from corruption of world, you know, corruption that is in the world through lust. So all of us by potential are partakers of the divine nature. But if we don't stay on the word, we won't express, enjoy, or even understand the divine nature that we've received. So the word. So our lives are basically about the word. So like a fish is to water, or water is to fish. The fish is born in water. The fish lives in the water. Everything the fish needs is in the water. Your life is in the word. Your life is all about the word. Your resources for living, they are all in the word. When a fish jumps out of water, that fish could be in trouble. And you know that. You ate one some days ago. All right. Once the fish is outside water, that fish is outside its zone. So you stay neck deep in the word, which is, you know, the water is the word of God. All right. So moving right along. Okay. We must ensure, I made this point yesterday, but I need to emphasize and connect it to some important points. When we pray, we must know that we are not just praying. We are speaking words. And the most effective type of prayer is when you mirror the word of God back to him. According to God's will, we must understand, number one, prayer has to be according to God's will. Prayer is like you reasoning together. Prayer is you bringing forth strong reasons. All right. But you must get something here. You have to be sure you are praying, not complaining. I repeat, you have to be sure you are praying. I said that yesterday. We've looked at certain verses. There are some others we need to look at right now. You must be sure, because you can say, well, I'm just freely expressing myself to my daddy. I get it. But how? Have you noticed that the same angel met with Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and with Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, gave them news about having babies? So similar news, similar angel, similar news. And they asked him similar questions. Zechariah asked, how is this thing going to be? He asked. Mary asked, how will this thing be? Zechariah was struck dumb by the angel, and Mary was set free. Why was the angel so unfair? Because Zechariah's question was produced from doubt. Mary's question was basically positioning to know, how do I cooperate with what's about to happen? You say, how did I know? Because the angel said to Zechariah, because you doubted this thing. Luke chapter 1. I mean, the angel made it clear. Because you doubted this thing, so we're going to have to keep your mouth shut so that you don't mess the process up. But Mary was asking, how's it going to happen? Oh, the Holy Ghost will tell, oh, great, great, great. Be it unto me according to your word. Mary didn't argue with the angel at all. Because you and I have got to understand, how does this thing work? How does this thing happen? How does this thing? So in Luke 1 verse 19, or let me pick it from 18, Luke 1:18. And then, thanks. Zechariah said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. It looked like a very neat question. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel. I mean, the guy vexed, you know, permit me. I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. I am sent to speak to you and to show you, you know, this glad, I'm sure I'll show you good news, bro. And behold, you will be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things will be performed because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their season. So it's clear. The angel said, it is because. So many times when you, oh, I'm just expressing myself, I'm just telling God how I feel. Are you sure? You have to be sure it's not doubt. You know, you have to be sure it's not doubt. And God recognizes the difference. The angel did recognize the difference. So in Genesis, Abraham said, so God, what would you give me, you know, seeing that I go childless? And this, you know, Eliezer of Damascus. And God said, no. That, so yes, that seemed conversational. And God didn't say, why doubtest thou me? God didn't do that to the man. But you must, please, you must. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Because we could say we're praying, but please watch it. And it's just easy. Why not just pray the solution? Even if you want to say, and like I said some minutes ago, Malachi 3:13, please. If you want to, you know, complain about something, put the but right. Put the but right. All right. Put the but right. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet we say, or you say, what have we spoken so much against you? We're going to 15 verse, so 14, 15. So, all right. You have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Verse 15 now. And now we call the proud happy, and they that walk wickedness, they are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are delivered. So what's saying? And people say that. I mean, what's the big deal of just all these serious confession? Those that are not even going to church, see their lives, see how they are doing. See them. God said, your words are stout against me. You're complaining bitterly against me. Let's switch. Maybe NLT, maybe, you know, and then pick it again from verse 13 quickly. You're complaining bitterly against me. You're accusing me wrongly. So look at NLT. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? Have we spoken against you? Okay, 14. You have said, what is the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord Almighty that we are sorry for our sins? What's the big deal? Verse 15, please. From now on, we will say, blessed are the arrogant, for those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God, you know, to punish them, they go free of harm. This has been language for a number of believers for a while. I mean, hey, we're here every day, every Sunday, every Monday, every Friday. But every other person that is not doing the thing we're doing, they're prospering. God, why don't you just look at them? They're prospering. And God said, you're complaining bitterly against me. You're accusing me falsely. All right, your words are stout against me. Your words are stout against me. You know, yes, we might say David expressed himself. You have to, once again, like I said, context is there. In God's mercy, there are certain things he could likely want to permit. But if we're just unduly, now we're learning faith. Now we're learning how to do it right. Don't forget, it was David in Psalm 19 that ended Psalm 19 saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. Thank you, Abel. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord my God. All right? The regular King James says, let the words of my mouth, thank you, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. So even David wanted to get it right. All right. David was one in Psalm 119 that said, how would a young man keep his ways? And it's by hearkening or staying with the word of God. So David wanted to get it right. So we can't just run around all through David and say, well, you know, no, Jesus is the standard. While he gave us all these other men as our examples, so we see, okay, this was right now. Don't do that. Oh, you could do this one. No, don't do that one. So please, but going back to Malachi, God said, your words are stout against me. So mind what you say. you know, this country, they're just mind, is that what you want? No. Maybe you like to get involved in political discussions with your friends. Say the one you can't leave, the one you don't have to. Yeah, I mean, Jesus called Herod a fox. Yes, he did. He would have had the reason for doing it. I mean, it's Jesus. It was perfect with words. So we need to understand what was the context. He fired a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Definitely, they need a lot of firing. They needed it. And they were highly religious and very hypocritical. They needed that. But you don't see him firing a crowd, you know, even if you say, well, you poor are only coming to me because you need food, blah, blah. He still healed them and blessed them and said, all that, you know. So he said, your words are stout against me. So we could limit God with the words of our mouth. Psalm 78, verse 40 and 41. Psalm 78. You know, just I'm just expressing myself. I'm just saying how I feel. God, you have to, you know, relax. David said, I would have fainted, except I believed I was going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. He said he would have fainted. So you and I now have seen that and realized, oh, the way of the wicked doesn't lead right. No, and it's not always about money. We will have a lot of it because we need a lot of it to get the gospel out. Are you getting that? Please understand that. You're going to, thanks, Gabriel. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God or the Lord in the land of the living. I would have, but now I'm going to see the goodness of God. In my time, in my life, I'm going to excel exceptionally. I'm going to do well. However, understand this. We're now needing to learn and understand. This is the word of God for my life. How do I walk by faith? For the just shall live by faith. And a major thing will be the words of our mouth. One thing I love about David, he knew how to switch. He might go haywire, you know, da, da, da. Suddenly the spirit of prophecy comes upon him and he's talking revelations and, you know, saying like some really, really great stuff. Psalm 78 and then verse 40. Psalm 78, verse 40. Our lives are word-centered, word-based, and that's what the Father wants us to hear. So watch this. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Verse 41 now. Yeah, they turned back and tempted God. Watch this. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. So it's talking about what happened in the wilderness. They turned back. They tempted God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. So let's catch an example of what happened. So how do you limit God? How do you, limit God? Let's just jump straight to, Numbers 14. We'll pick it from one. Numbers 14 from verse 1. So is it possible? Could God be limited? Yes. God's agenda, God's plans for somebody's life could be, short-circuited. Maybe we'll switch to NLT. Thank you. New King James. No, New King James, sorry. New King James. All right. So let's do. Thank you. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children would become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and let us return to Egypt. So Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the people. I mean, Moses was in trouble trying to talk to God and talk to these people. Now let's jump to verse 26. So just jump to 26 and run down to 32. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, I want you to watch this. How long would I bear with this evil congregation? Why were they evil? The words of their mouth. Evil congregation who complain against me. I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. I want you to note verse 28. Can you read it where you are, please? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. Ken Hagin talked about a Rema student, I think it was student of grad at that time, but Rema guy. And then they had called all of them. He wasn't feeling well, like all. So Hagin got a couple of guys that went there and prayed. And I mean, Romans 8 says the Spirit will take hold, you know, together with us in intercession and all of that. And then Hagin said he wasn't feeling the Spirit taking hold, you know, the Spirit wasn't taking hold with him. And he had to ask, Lord, you're not with me on this. You know, you're not with me on this. This guy's, you know, at the point of death. You're not with me on this. And the Lord said, no, because he's going to die. Hagin felt, ooh, all right. And the Lord said to him, because strong words have been spoken. Strong words have been spoken. All right. So he had set the course of his life with the words of his mouth. And then I think when, you know, he was buried and all, you know, so Kenny was talking to his brother and he said to the brother something about what he had peaked. And the brother said, so maybe the guy, you know, didn't live up to 30 or 41 of two. And then he said, you know, yeah, he had just always said he wasn't sure if he would ever make it to that year. So that was what the Lord revealed to Kenny Hagin. Strong words have been spoken. Strong words. And if you remember what we saw in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 yesterday, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken captive by the words of your mouth. Oh, obviously, I'm not sure he said it once or twice. I'm not sure. You know, verse 2. Yeah, thank you. You're snared by the words. You're taken. I'm not sure he said it once. I'm not sure he said it twice. We have to be careful what we say. You know, we have to be careful. You know, there's no very serious boy here. I might just stay single. I think it's okay to stay single. And this thing is this. Sometimes you don't even know the amount of faith you put in some of these things when you say them. You know, when you now want to release your real faith, if you understand what I mean by real, when you are now serious about praying, you might not even invest as much faith in it. You know? But maybe there was a way, you know, someone just came to you and you didn't like where the person carried. No, I'd rather be single. And you said it with energy and the law of faith. Please get this. The law of faith with the heart and with the mouth. So sometimes you don't know when you invest words in this thing. You don't know. Would it be that's the only reason why some things could go wrong? No. Would it be all about words? No, I've said that yesterday. But words have a major role to play. Words have a major, super major role to play. And you and I need to, you know, be conscious of that. So God said, as they have spoken in my ears, so will I do. As they've spoken in my ears, so will I do. But it's a system. All right. And we're going to look at that better. It's a system. Now, next verse, please. 29. You know, it's amazing. The carcasses of you who have complained against me will fall in the wilderness. And all of you who, you know, were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years and above, verse 30, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun, you know, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore. I mean, I said I'll give it to you, but your words have reversed the whole process. Well, I'll make you dwell in. And then 30, 31, you know, but your little ones, whom you have said will be victims, I will bring in and they, you know, would be in the land, this same land that you have despised. And if you note the story from Numbers 13, Numbers 13, 30 to 33. Numbers 13, 30 to 33. You know, thank you, Lord. It's just amazing. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession. For what we're able, I mean, they're already grumbling, giving a report. And Caleb is like, hey, hold on, guys. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Are there things God is speaking to you about? I know we all know the story of Joshua, Caleb, Joshua, and all of that. But are there things God is revealing to you? And I said that yesterday. Are there things God is showing to you? I remember, and this might be useful to somebody. I remember many years ago, we heard this tape by Creflo Dollar. It's time to call it in. Solid faith teaching. Oh my goodness. That tape blessed us. You know, tape was cassette, you know, back then. It blessed us. We heard it. But one of the things I noticed in the story was Kravdola saying that he would just pick Kenneth Copeland's magazine, BVOV, and there was, you know, when they have a convention, Southwest Convention, there's Kenneth's picture, there's Gloria's picture, Jerry Savelle's picture, you know, and then Jesse Plante's picture, and he would tell his wife, Taffy, I'm the next guy there. My picture is going to be right there. You know, and he said that and said that. you know, and sometimes staff will be like, oh yeah, and all that. And he used that example. And sometime later, he met Kenneth Copeland. And, you know, one day, Kenneth Copeland just asked him to share something at the convention. And then he did. He was driving his car off after the meeting. Copeland ran after his car and stopped him, you know, and, you know, said, you know, me, Gloria, Jerry, Jesse, Kathy, you know, and Caroline, their wives, you know, we believe that you're the fourth member of this team. We want you to pray about it, believe God, you know, I mean, all of that. So he said, all right, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, I love the story. So he said, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Then he drove off just a few, maybe seconds or something, parked the car and began in the car. Taffy, didn't I tell you my God is a good God? Didn't I tell you? Know, and all of that. And, but somewhere in me, I kept feeling this story isn't complete. Can I just talk my way just anywhere? Now you can talk your way. You can. That doesn't remove this. But there's another lesson here. About 2 years later, so I came across a teaching and then a manuscript of the teaching. So in looking through it and reading was, you know, the manuscript of the teaching, Creflo began to explain that he had to start picking up magazines and pointing because God revealed to him that you will be a member of the Kenneth Copeland ministry team. He said, no way. So in order for him to fight that fear, fight that I am not qualified, I'm not worthy of that level of, you know, that kind of platform in ministry and all, he had to. So those things in that other tape were just the fight of faith. The full story was another material that God brought my way later. I'm like, that's it. So maybe you're here like Joshua and Caleb. Or, you know, we might have been sometimes like the rest of the guys. Yeah, God said we'll take the promised land, but it's big. Yeah, how do we go there? How do I move from the backup singer to being globally known, Lord? How? We don't always know the how. So don't be like the rest of the guys. Don't be like Zechariah. Be like Mary. Be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. I receive it, Lord. I receive it. If that's your plan, I receive it. And then you're receiving his plan and he show you pictures in the place of prayer. And you're embracing it by faith. How would it happen? You stay committed. Stay where he plants you in your local assembly serving. Follow the leadings of his spirit. And you'll be where he wants you to be. You don't have to. I mean, Samuel was anointed by David to be king. David had an opportunity to kill Saul. And his men told him, the Lord provided this. He knew that wasn't the Lord. But sometimes we don't know. We just see one little opportunity and we just jump on it. And from there, we just veer off. I've had, as a young believer, someone start a ministry and, you know, calling some of myself and some of my friends and say, I want you to be a part of it. And it looked like an opportunity. And I knew this wasn't it. This wasn't it. This isn't it. I remember many years ago, someone was being sent by his denomination. They were expanding outside Nigeria. He was picked and he said they could. They allowed him to pick someone with him. He had met me during my internship and wanted him to go with him. I prayed and I knew, no. 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 So, because sometimes like David, you just, you know, kill Saul now. God has given you enemy to. No, he said, I'm not going to do that. And I've seen people veer off because something looked like the big picture. You jump on it and it wasn't the big picture. Stay where God put you. Stay where God put you. And serve. And the things you see, just embrace them by faith like Mary did. Embrace them by faith like Joshua and Caleb did. We're well able. Well, your brain is saying you are not able. You don't have the capacity. You don't have the resources. You don't have anything. Using Kenneth Copeland's example again, when God told them to get on radio, they didn't even have radio. All right? I mean, Gloria said there was nowhere to go. When God said, I'm going to preach all over, the world they knew was just the environment. They couldn't get anywhere. But they received it. You want to lift your hands where you are and say, I receive it. Lord, I receive your plans for my life. I receive it. I do not fight it. I do not struggle with it. I receive it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Most people you know today that are popular, big time ministers, ministries. How do you think they all began? Nobody knew them. Nobody went for their meetings. Nobody called them to preach. But it was faith. One step of faith after the other. One step of faith after the other. One step of faith after the other. That's how you and I are going to get to where we're going, okay? So you have to watch your words. Don't say the wrong thing. Don't say we're not able. I'm not able. I can't. You set a lead. Your words will be stout against God. God, see me, I'm serving you. See those other people. Malachi says, no, your words are stout against me. You're complaining against me. You don't do that. You don't do that. Matthew chapter 12 and then the 36th verse. Matthew 12, 36. You know, words are important. Words, prayer, words, complain, words, anger, words, bitterness, words. It's words. Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they will give account thereof in the day of judgment for every idle word you speak. So watch the words that proceed from your mouth. Let's read again. But I say to you that every idle word, and what is the word idle? Fruitless, meaningless. Let's see NLT, please. What words that are ineffective, words that are unproductive. Don't just say and say. You know, okay, still use I do, TPT. I'm looking for something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Great. Thank you. That's it. You can be sure of this, that when the day of judgment comes, everyone will be held accountable for every careless word he has spoken. Stop being careless with your words. Where your destiny is concerned, where your health is concerned. Don't even say, oh, this thing is killing me. Why? But that's no. It's careless. It's going against the will of God. It's going against the word of God. And that's where we've all been careless. Okay? And the reason why God is bringing his revelation to me and to you is so that we can judge ourselves and then correct. Repentance is not, oh, I'm sorry. Someone can do all of that crying and go back again and again and again and again, do the same thing. But some could just say, oh, that was wrong, and just switch. And persons moved on, corrected it, and repentance is a change of ways. Repent. You change your ways. You move back up in the right direction. You repent. Do you understand that? So for every idle word you speak, let's see the verse again, please. For every idle word, and I like the word, rather than I do here, TBT uses the word careless. You shall be sure of this. You say, oh, but I know this big guy, even my boss at the office, even all you are looking at is the person has money. And by God, I will that the church of Jesus will stop rating everything on finance. You don't know how some people's health is. You don't know how their home is. You don't know how they sleep at night. You don't know if they worry or have to take 10 pills before they can go to bed. You don't know what's happening to them. You just see their lives in that moment of time. They are happy with money and you just feel, well, they are successful. I love the fact that in Joshua 1, God said to Joshua, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. All types of success aren't good success. So it's not enough just say, hey, this guy is successful. This lady's saying it the way she wants it. She's on social media just blabbing off. Blah, blah, blah. She's not your role model. She's not, and she's going to stand on the day of judgment. Come on, guys. You are learning this. So you have to be more eternity in focus than the people you see on social media. You can't dance like the guy. You can't do their challenge. You can't just, you know, pick a song and put it on your mind and say, every idle word. Did you get that? So if I'm going to give account of every careless, hell, I mean, I don't know how old you are. I'll be 45 this year. So at least I can say the next right things for the rest of my life and keep saying careless stuff. You can do the same thing. Let's say the right things now. Let's use our words. And the day of judgment is not just, oh, I'm standing before Christ. Sometimes life brings judgment. Like the guy that Ken Hagin said they were trying to pray for, judgment has set on that day. His words were now full. The cloud was full. Every idle word he spoke about his own self, every idle word he spoke about his own life was now full. And judgment, as it were, came. God is not judging him, but the system judged him. the law of seed time harvest. He had sown enough words to reap it. He had ensnared himself by the words of his mouth. And I know sometimes we could be afraid. I don't see how this thing will work. I don't see how this thing will happen. Child of God, guard your mouth. Guard your tongue. Guard your lips. We're going to give account of it. We're going to give account of it. And it's not just that day of, well, I'm in front. No, there will be days in life. We've set the limitation. So don't just look at people who have money. Are their lives really okay? Are their homes really okay? Do they trust everybody? Do they sleep and then still have the tongue left? You don't know that. You don't know the things they've had to dabble into and the sorrows have had to pierce their hearts because of money. Like 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about. You don't know half of the stuff people go through. You just see their lives. And then you follow them and, oh, this one is now not married to this one, now married to this one. And then you follow all of that junk. Those are idols. You don't need it. For crying out loud, we give attention to things and we have a lot to use our mouth to move. For every idol word, back on the verse, please. You know, for every idol, I know a question came in again. Let's see. So I have two questions really. How does one stay with the world when war? Extreme end. All right, so let's see. What do you do when your spouse is used to saying negative things about the kids, business, and when? You know, sometimes when people just say negative stuff, they really need the revelation of God's word. So maybe a teaching like this would help. I believe it's like this should help present the word to them. You know, when you just verbally try to complain, it looks like, are you thinking you're better than me? You think you're better? Why are you trying to tell me how to talk? All right, but present scripture in a very calm atmosphere. Can we talk God's word? I just noticed that, you know, these are the things the Bible said. Or could ask, can you please? I don't know better. You know, I mean, I'm not fighting. I mean, that's what I mean. Can I just play a part of the message for you so you listen to it? And then person listens to the message, you know. And then you trust God. I've learned from Keith Moore, it is God that gives revelation. All right, it's the Holy Ghost that gives revelation. You can't fight. It's the Holy Ghost that gives. So you present the word, pray, and trust God. But if you're trying to get a person to see, person might never see it, and you might cause more harm than good. How do you stay with the word when you are at the extreme end? The only way, sincerely, is to stay with the word. I know it's sounding like I picked the question in the answer or the answer in the question. Peter and the rest of the guys saw Jesus walking on water. They thought it was a ghost. And Peter said, if it is you, ask me to come. It was Jesus. Jesus won't say, don't come. So it was Jesus. If it is you, ask me to come. Jesus said, come. Peter begins to walk on water towards Jesus. So he stepped on water. Bible said, then he saw the wind boisterous and he began to sink. What did he do? He took his focus off the word. Word, come, spoken by the word, Jesus Christ. Did you get that now? So he took his focus off the word to the situation. All right. Thank you, Gabriel. But the 29th verse. All right. Thank you. So come, Jesus replied. And he began to walk towards Peter, what on water? 30. Thank you. When he realized how high, he was already walking. He was already on the word. Then waves came. He was frightened and started to sink. What happened to him? He took his focus off the word. No matter how bad the case is, it is trying to take your focus off the word. The way to solve it is to keep your focus on the word. You might need friends that would help you do that. You will need materials. I said sometime earlier that Creflo Dollar was diagnosed with prostate cancer, a developed stage of it. He locked himself up. He had to pick Gloria Copeland's Healing School, Robert's Healing Messages. He stayed with the Bible. He locked himself in. That was a deep end. It could have been, oh my goodness, I've served you for this long. Oh God, why now? And those are the kinds of thoughts the devil wants us to mutter out of our mouths. And then our words will be stout against God. But this is not God. Sickness doesn't come from God. Sickness comes from the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So these things come from the devil. Attacks come from the devil. Persecution, they come. So, you know, it wants to take your focus away from God. And if you remember the parable of the sower, it will now make you unfruitful. The sun, parable of sower, the sun came out, scorched them, and they didn't have depth of earth, so they withered. It wants to take you away. That, the devil knows if he gets you off the word, he's taking your victory on that matter off you. All right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. I beg you, stay with the word. Stay around people that will encourage you to stay with the word. Stay with the word. Get specific teachings, materials that will help you. I've had to play some Kenneth Hagin messages in the last few days, specifically because of something. All right? Because you just realize your attention is going off the word into something, into some, hey, get back on the word. I had to tell myself that, hey, get back on that. I knew it was Holy Ghost calling my attention. Stay on the word on this guy. Stay on the word. All right? So please, no matter how deep it seems, you have to, because it is the word, watch this, that will bring faith. And I've seen this happen before. You started confessing the word and the trouble was still seeming so real, but you kept staying the word, kept staying on the word, kept saying the word, kept staying on the word, kept saying, you kept, suddenly after 2-3 days, situation has not changed. But your faith is rising now, like, okay, not as bad as I thought. But 3 days ago, you look like I'm sinking. 3 days after, because of sitting on the word, suddenly felt like, oh, okay, not as bad. All right, let's take more word. Let's do more. But the attack of the enemy is take out the word. Take him off the word. That's what the devil likes to do. And then what we know better than that, all right? So please be encouraged. Get right people around you. Get right materials. If it's a more specific case, I might say, okay, you could talk to your pastor, please, to recommend materials. You need things to chew on. I beg you, all right? So we stay on it. So, okay, we're still in Matthew, right? Matthew 12 and 36. Yep. Matthew 12, 36. We're doing good, I believe. We're doing good. All right. Thank you. You can be sure of this. When the day of judgment comes, every idle word will be held. You'll be held. Everyone will be held accountable for every idle word he's spoken. Now, verse 37. Thank you, Jesus. Your very words will be used as evidence against you. Your words will declare you either innocent or guilty on the day of judgment. So using the case of the Rema guy again, his words declared him guilty. He is going to die. He had been saying he will not live until this particular year in life. He had been, so his words were stout against God. His words had limited the power of God. You know, sometimes you go in that God is, you know, God is also a sovereign. God could do anything God wants to do. Yes, but in his sovereignty, he now put power in the mouth of the believer. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Did you get that? He put the power now in his sovereignty. He handed power over to you. Death and life, honey, take. Your tongue has it. Whatever direction you swing it, it's going to come. So if we look at where we are right now, we could use our tongues to drive ourselves to where we want to be. All right. We use our tongues. That's the verse right there on the screen if you need to copy it up. You know, so you use your tongue to drive. You use your tongue because you will be justified by the words of your mouth. You'll be condemned. You'll be either made guilty or set free by the words of your mouth. And you and I must know this. So we'll quickly look at blessings and curses. I'll just mention a number of them. You know them. Just quickly and buy time. Yeah, we have about 30 minutes, but I think we've been good. All right. In Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28, God said, let us make man in our own image. After our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air. And then what did God do? Bible says, and God blessed them in 28, Genesis 1, 28. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. God blessed and he said. If you look at Genesis chapter 22, also from the 16th verse to the 18th verse, after the whole encounter, you know, Abraham, Isaac, you know, obeying God, you know, means to sacrifice. God said, in blessing, I will bless you. God said, it was words that God spoke. It was words. I particularly like Genesis 27 from verse 25, the story of Esau and Jacob. I would have loved to have read that right now, but you know, but you know the story. But one thing you might not have noticed is it was words that Isaac spoke over Jacob. It was words. And then when Esau came, Esau said, Father, don't you have any more blessing for me? Oh, I want you to read something there. Genesis 27 game. You know, I mean, Isaac was saying, I have sustained him. How? How did he sustain him? How did he sustain him? What verse? Let's see, 30. So it's beyond 30. Where he said, I have, and I'm wondering, how did you sustain a guy? With words, he spoke. We go. Okay, let's just read quickly from 33. All right. Isaac trembled, taking the wine, you know. So someone came. Yeah. Watch this. Where is he that has taken venison, brought it to me? Watch this. I have eaten all before you came. Watch this. And have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. What did the man do? He spoke words. But he knew they were not ordinary words. He needed to even trigger the words. Like, give me great food. I want to release his blessing right now. Verse 34. I can't spend too much time here. And Esau heard the words of his father. He cried with great, exceeding bitter cry and said, Father, bless me, even me also. And then 35. And he said, your brother came with subtlety and he has taken away, you know, your blessing. And you know, is it all right in the name of Jacob? He has supplanted me all of this time. You know, as thou not, what's the last line? And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? 27. Isaac said, guys, keep your eyes on this verse, please. Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him your Lord. When? How? Words. I have made him your Lord and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. Watch this. With corn and wine have I sustained him. Did he give him a bag of corn? Did he give him a jar of wine? No. The words he spoke over Jacob will sustain Jacob. Hi. With corn and wine have I sustained him. Hi. I mean, of course, he gave, let's jump out of this, but read this on your own. Read the story. You will see, I mean, he's still giving blessings. It looked like it was sore, but he said you will break this yoke off your own neck by yourself. He gave all that to Esau. So you need to read. But he said, I have sustained him. So that means someone can be moving away from someone's presence and say, you know, all will be well with you. And the person is sustained. He said, I've sustained him with corn and wine. This guy eventually ran away with one stick in his hand, but he prospered because what Isaac actually did was transfer on him the covenant God made with Abraham that was given to Isaac. And that's what God gave to Jacob in words. They were not mere words. I have sustained him with corn and wine. He didn't give him bags of corn. He didn't give him jars of wine. He spoke words over him. I have sustained him. Guys, you sustain your life, your words. Proverbs 18 that we saw earlier, death and life. He also says that a man's belly will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, with the increase of his lips. He will be filled. You have to understand that you can sustain yourself in sickness. You can sustain yourself in challenges. You can sustain yourself by the words that you speak from your own mouth. Don't speak words contrary to the will of God. The enemy wants you. I said yesterday, you're the establishing witness. He wants you to say something that he will grab. He wants you. Thank you, Gabriel. A man's belly will be satisfied. You know, we just read, you know, a man's belly will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips, he will be filled. So if you're not satisfied, speak more, say more, create time, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. So blessings, and if you go to Genesis 49, we can't read that right now. It was now Jacob's turn to speak blessings over his children. And the things he said to them ran into their generations. Words. These are not mere words. These are not mere words. And we saw yesterday, Adam, God allowed all the animals to pass in front of him, and Adam named them. Whatever it was that it was naming, all right, the word was just, it just stayed. Whatever I called them was what they were. What have you been calling yourself? What have you been calling your kids? What have you been calling your situation? What have you been calling your circumstance? Rename it. Rename it. Rename it. Use your words right. Use your words right. Yeah, I mean, the word will fix it all. Glory to God. Now, curses. So we looked at blessings. Curses, what, you know, one of the meanings of curse, you know, if you look at the Hebrew word, is to vilify. Vilify. V-I-L-I-F-Y. Or vilify, or vilification. Which means to speak or write about in an abusive or disparaging manner. To vilify. So Mark 11, we see Jesus teaching us faith. And we all know Mark 11, 23. But in Mark 11, Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Mark 11, 11. Jesus said to the fig tree, no man eat fruit from you hereafter again. All right, but this is, if you pick 11, 11 takes us into the story. Jesus went to Bethany. So when he had looked around, and then eventide had come, so he went to Bethany. Okay, I wrote all this because I want to see it. I want you to see, and then tomorrow. So watch this, yeah. He saw a fig tree afar off, having leaves, and happily if you find anything thereon. When he came to it, he didn't find anything, for the time of leaves was not yet. So, and Jesus answered and said to him, nobody eat food from here after again. He spoke and they went. So if we keep reading down, he went to Jerusalem. So he was moving from Bethany to Jerusalem. He was staying in Bethany, moves to Jerusalem, leaves Jerusalem, goes to Bethany, and then was coming back and forth. In the morning when they passed by, saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, Peter, let's see 21. Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. Question, what did Jesus say? No man eat fruit from you hereafter again. He just ended the life of that thing. He ended the life of that thing. So what did he speak? Words, all right? But what kind of words? Blessing usually is defined as empowerment to prosper. Curse would be an empowerment to fail. Something that sets a clog in the wheel of progress. It brings a hindrance to the progress. It sets bridges and, you know, blockades. Just takes root negatively. No man eat fruit from you hereafter again. But they were just words. But guys, they were not ordinary words. They were powerful words. Joshua chapter 6, verse 23. We have to be mindful of the words, because these words can hang. We see Joshua, after they conquered Jericho, you know, he spoke and released words. You know, Joshua, you know, 26, please. 26. You know, and Joshua, you know, adjured them at that time, you know, saying, cursed is the man before the Lord that rises up and builds the city, you know, Jericho. He will lay the foundation thereof with his firstborn, and in his youngest son will he set up a gate. So he placed a curse. Guys, many years there. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. All right. Hundreds of years later, someone dared to do it. And watch this. In his days, did Hiel, the Bethelite, all right, build Jericho? He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Words that have been spoken hundreds of years back. Hundreds of years back. Hundreds of years back. Now, but let me quickly say, for someone's mind is going, okay. Are there words that have been spoken? That's why, listen, when you and I get into God's word, you break every negative word that has been spoken. But question is, what have you been busy saying? Isaiah chapter 54, And the 17th verse of Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. We know the verse, Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Watch this. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, tongue, words, that rise up against you in judgment, you, watch this, thou shall condemn. Not God. You will condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, righteous of me. How do you condemn them? You are speaking the right words. You are channeling your life right. You are directing your path correctly. It will count. And what if you take the word of God and you put it in your own mouth? It comes out of your mouth as the sword of the Spirit. So it will therefore neutralize, knock over, dismantle any word a person had spoken. But you must allow the word abide so that it can come from the abundance of your heart. Do you understand this? Don't start becoming afraid of words that people spoke. Oh, you have the authority. You have the authentic word. You are the prophet of your own life. But don't sit there and say, I'm a prophet. And then you're not saying anything. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you will condemn. So stop being careless, because sometimes, I don't know if you've wondered this before, why am I confessing? And Jesus doesn't confess. Jesus just says it once, and it happens once. Jesus hardly had to battle with unrenewed mind. Guys, all the media stuff we're attending to, all of the, so listen, is entertaining, is all of that. We by ourselves are creating more work for our own faith process. Lester Sommer went to pay Smith Wigglesworth to visit. He was holding a newspaper. He was going to go into Wigglesworth's house, and Wigglesworth said, I don't allow that thing in my house. Drop that thing before you enter my house. Wigglesworth said, I don't want negative news. I stay on the word. So when we wonder how come these people have a high level of faith, why don't we check how much of the word they entertain and how much of anything outside the word they do not entertain? How does it concern us if this guy married that girl, and if that one now left now to go and marry this one, and if this one now drove 10 cars, and if this one has a mansion, so, and if this, how does, you find out we just receive a lot of junk, and then you now don't just read the news, you now read the comments on that story, and then you're like, I we don't need this thing. It's, I do talk, they are busy doing, I have a life to build. Let me get busy building my life. I got a life to build. You got a life to build. Let's build it. Guess what? The way I know there's a new slang out there, I hear from a believer. That's how I know there's a new slang. That's how I know there's a new song. That's how I know I hear it from a believer. Okay, maybe back then when go to barbershop, he plays music. But I'm saying now, if, you know, just I hear from a believer. Someone, you know, maybe I saw someone do something, someone say something, someone use a word. You know, there was one song that was all over. It was from someone who's, you know, I've preached for him before. He did like his own style of a challenge. And I said, oh, this must be a new song. And then I started hearing the song everywhere. You know, I started hearing the song everywhere. Usually it's from a believer I hear slang. It's from a believer I hear something. And then you find out that the source of the slang, you know, the source of the slang is not, is from an unbeliever. The source of the slang is from someone that is not born again, and then the church adopts it. We're trying to be woke. No. Every idle word, guys. So Jesus knew, guys, that if he spoke, and you know, so you want to, how come we need to be confessing that we have a lot of mind to renew, we have a lot of garbage to remove, and then we have a lot of faith to build. Jesus had been, you remember when he was at age 12, was he studying God's word? So you can imagine that amount of deposit of the word from age 12. We don't have a record of when exactly he began, but from age 12, then he began ministry at 30, 18 years of word deposit. And we don't have any release, or he wasn't preaching, was just collecting, chewing, meditating. 18 solid years. When that kind of person speaks, something has to happen. So it wasn't because he's God. No, he gave attention to the word. That was his key. Rise up. And then Lazarus drops up. How? And then we are saying it 5 hours and saying it 15 days. He's full of it. And the rest of our lives, we can begin this journey. We're going to give account of idle words we speak, and we need to be careful. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, from verse 1. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Because, you know, the way this whole warfare thing goes, you say, but I spoke, nothing happened. What kinds of words have you been speaking? Ecclesiastes 5:1. Maybe New King James. You know, what kind of words have I been speaking? Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of food. So go to learn, go to church to learn. Come to the world to learn. Draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. All right, verse 2. We're going down to... Okay, all right. Do not be rash with your mouth. Please stay with me on this. Please. You like this one. Do not be rash with your mouth and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you are here on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So don't, I will do this next year. I'll do that next year. Oh God, I make a vow. And don't just let your words be few. Set a guard on your lips. Don't hastily just say stuff, all right? For a dream comes through much activity and a fool's voice is known by his many, many words. Meditate more. Watch the foolish, reduce, you know, when you make a vow. All right. Don't delay, pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. So from beginning, don't make commitments. Rather learn, understand what you want to say. Don't be quick to go and jump into something. Better not to vow than to vow and to pay it. This is just all lessons in learning. You and I have to learn. What's up now, verse 7? Watch this now. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Guys, follow me, please. Nor say before the messenger of God, that's angel, it was an error. Don't say before the angel it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse or destroy the works of your hand? So don't let your mouth make you sin. And don't say careless words and say, oh, angel, mistake, angel, was a mistake. Like, go to regular King James so that they can see that this verse means angel. Now, of course, he also is messenger of God, all right? And then he could also be, you know, in context, you could take it as context of the vow. You know, when he told the preacher, this is what I'm going to do, then he didn't do what he said you're going to do. Preacher would serve as a messenger of God. So, hey, be careful what you are hasty to say. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin, neither say before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hand? But it's not God destroying the work of your hand. It's the negative words you spoke that the angels heard. And then in many cases, you incapacitated the angel and the devil was able to swing in and destroy what you were doing. Oh, but I was just joking. What kind of joke was that? You know, what kind of joke was that? Verse 7 now, please. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear God. So stay in that reverence of God. Keep your words. Watch your words. Watch what you take in, especially what comes out of you. And what you take in either empowers your words or they weaken your words. If you watch fear, you'll be filled with fear. If it's gossip, gist, your faith might not be strong because it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So when you and I are learning, and like we read yesterday, let's quickly see that again today. Proverbs chapter 12 and 6. I mean, I know those are the, you know, wonderful verses that we learned yesterday. And we have about 9 minutes. I believe we're fine. Woo! Oh, okay. I just mentioned fear right now. I didn't know the question fear. At times, fear, quickness. Yeah. I mean, the only way... So someone did an illustration once. It was on something else, but it still applies. So let's say you have a cup filled with Coca-Cola. All right. So let's say that's fear, darkness, death, whatever it is. And then you run it under a tap. All right. You know, the water from the tap would, you know, come into the cup until it pushes out all the Coca-Cola and all you have left is the water. So no matter how much fear and everything fills, you know, your mind and your thoughts, run it under the water of God's word. That's what I'm saying. Surround yourself with people and circumstances and it fills it up and pushes the whole thing out. We got 8 minutes. Glory to God. Well, thank you, Father. It's been rich. Go on, don't stop this. It's been rich. Watch the words of your mouth. Stop saying it was a joke. Stop saying it was an error. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 3 from verse 1. I was saying about Jesus, all right? Jesus in Matthew, 25, when, Peter caught Marcus's ear, Jesus said to Marcus, don't you think, and I want you to watch this, guys, don't you think if I ask my Father right now, he would send me 12 legions of angels? And that Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6, I looked at it yesterday, the mouth of the righteous will deliver him. So Jesus knew that if he opened his mouth, he can get into trouble. But he said, we must do this so that scriptures will be fulfilled. And part of the scripture would have been Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 verse 7 said, it was like a lamb before the shearer. He was quiet. Like a lamb taken to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. What would happen if he opened his mouth? Deliverance will come. He was oppressed and afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before the shearer that he's dumb. So the eating, because the mouth of the righteous will deliver him. And Jesus said it in Matthew. If I ask my daddy now, 12 legions, and a legion back then was between 3,000 and 6,000. So calculate, between 3,000 to 6,000 and 12 of that. He said, if I ask my daddy now, 12 legions of angels will show up here and get me out of this mess. How many angels on top of how many people? He just showed how much capacity that was available. But what did he do? Zipped his mouth. So the only way they could catch Jesus, he had to zip. He didn't release his authority. So the only way they won't catch you, the only way life won't crap you and put you down, and then you got to open your own mouth. His own mouth was closed so that your own mouth would not be closed. Come on, somebody. James chapter 1 quickly, all right? His own mouth was closed so that your mouth would not be closed. He went through it. He had to go through. He had to be the sacrificial lamb for you and I, for the scriptures to be fulfilled. If I get deliverance from this, how do we fulfill scripture? But he was delivered so that you and I are free, so that you and I enjoy liberty. We cannot enjoy liberty from sickness, from disease, from death, from whatever it is. James 3:1. I believe you're learning this because that's part of spiritual warfare. He said, if I open my mouth, there's trouble here. He had to close his mouth. You don't close your mouth. Don't close your mouth. Andrew Romack said, sometimes it turns on the TV and they're advertising something. Oh, if you're over 60 right now, you must be experiencing. I'm not experiencing that. I am not experiencing that. And you might wonder, what's the issue? He's fighting it because the truth is sometimes at certain ages, some things want to start happening to you. You either accept it, or you fight it. Even if you want to just, like Charles Capps, take the calamine lotion for a while, but keep using your faith, we have to fight this thing. Or else it will settle in. You're now over 50. Your hearing is going on and off. And this happening to you. And then you're accepting. But then you fight it. It's spiritual warfare. If not, you keep sitting there in front of the TV and all the adverts are showing you, this should be happening to you right now. That must be happening to you right now. This is happening to you right now. I go, oh, could it? Maybe that's why. And then the devil is trying to bring the thing onto you. You stop it. You fight it. Words work. They work for us or against us. We're justified by words. We're condemned by words. James chapter 3 and verse 1. All right, thank you. I was saying that to myself. Larry, woo! All right, but we've been blessed, right? Praise God. Glory to God. My brethren, be not many masters. Already yesterday, but we need to see it again. Knowing that we shall receive greater condemnation. Verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in words, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole, and we turn about their whole body. So mouth, all right, is part of the head and then the whole body. So we put something in the horse's mouth, which is just part of the head, and the head is not as big as the body. So then the mouth can control the whole body. All right. Get that. All right. Verse 4. Thank you, Lord. Behold also the ships, which though are great, driven by fierce winds, they are turned about with a small helm wherever the governor wants them to go. You turn it around. Big ship, turn it around. Titanic was so big, but it was turned around with a small helm. It was because the captain didn't see the icebergs on time. They hit it. All right. So big ships are turned about with something small. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, boasted great thing. Hey, I'm big, I'm fine, I'm big. You know? Behold how great a matter a little fire can kindle. One small spark, that's your tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. A world. So this is James describing the natural man's tongue. I explained yesterday that Acts 2, the Holy Ghost, when he showed up, was like cloven tongues. So the tongue of the believer is not this tongue, but he's showing you that if natural man's, the natural man, you need to see the tongue of a natural man. James' letter was to the Jews in dispersion. So, hey, we have to also understand context. But this is a natural man's tongue. Your own tongue is not a world of fire. Your own tongue is anointed of the Holy Ghost, but it still has death and life. Remember that. All right. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It is it defiles. So if the tongue of the natural man, and if the tongue can defile the whole body, watch this place. It means your tongue can bring healing to your whole body. And you see all that in Proverbs 4. The regular faith verses I would have normally used tonight, I'll be today, and I haven't. Okay, if your tongue can defile your whole body, your tongue can bring life to your whole body. All right, that it defiles the whole body, it sets on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire by hell. Now yours is set on fire by God. Don't forget, Acts 2, it was like cloven tongues of fire, and they began to speak with new languages, meaning their tongues are now yielded to the Spirit and can be yielded to the Spirit. So your own tongue is now set on fire by God. Okay, and then you can use your own tongue now to set your life on a better direction than hell. All right. Oh no, no, Gabriel. Let's stay in James. Thank you. Let's stay in James. I got. Well, good. Bore me like what now? 5 minutes, guys. And the tongue set on fire by hell. All right. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed. You know, and I've been tamed by mankind, verse 8. You know, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The tongue can no man tame, but God hath, all right, don't forget again, God hath, and anyone who stays with the word of God, all right, can easily tame the tongue. So it is tameable. So he's talking in connection with the natural man. Watch, and I want you to see verses 9 and 10. Therewith, the tongue, we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made in the likeness of God. So, and which happens? You bless God. Then you shout at your children. You talk to your spouse. It says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Did you get that? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, it shouldn't be so. And this is a lesson for every one of us. Out of your mouth, choose which one comes out of your mouth. Oh, you're so irresponsible. Is that what you want to say? It's not what you want to say, then say what you want to say, because that tongue can be a world of iniquity, but that same tongue can be a world of blessing. So James is saying, out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, it shouldn't be so. Look at verse 11. Thank you, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, does a fountain send forth, you know, from the same place, sweet water and bitter water? So which one do you want to be? Sweet water fountain or bitter water fountain? I choose to be a sweet water fountain. I choose that everyone who's joined me from today, yesterday and today, you choose to be sweet water fountains. Does a fountain send forth at the same place, sweet water, bitter water? I choose to be a sweet water fountain. Please run through the verses you looked at yesterday. The words of the righteous are a tree of life. The words of the righteous are a wellspring of life. I choose 2022 and forward, 2022 and onwards. I choose to be a sweet water fountain. I choose to be a sweet water fountain. I choose to use my words right. I choose to use my words right. Yes. I mean, many of us have said careless things. Can we reverse this? Yes. We're alive right now to reverse everything we've ever said. Yes, you can. And like I said, repentance is change of way immediately. Oh Lord, I remember I said this wrong. I said that wrong. I said this wrong. I repent of it. I repent of it. And then say the right thing. So I choose to be a sweet water fountain. I choose to be a sweet water. I use my words to build my life. I use my words to build the lives of those around me. And I know after today, the more you read the Bible verses, you'll be seeing verses that will keep connecting and building on those thoughts for you. You'll be seeing Bible verses. I mean, let your words be seasoned. I didn't even go to all of that. We usually know that one. But you'll be seeing, speak the truth in love. You see Bible verses begin to connect. Oh, is it not the truth? Yes, in love, in love, in love, in love. In love. I choose to be a sweet water fountain. I will use my words to build myself. I will use my words to build my life. I'll use my words to build my family. I'll use my words to build my health. I'll use my words to build. Doesn't mean you can't correct. You should. God corrects. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Some believers are not used to correction. They don't like correction. All right? They don't like it. Yeah. But it's part of it. I mean, Kenneth Copeland, this year, part of the words for the year is the year of correction. All right? It's a year of correction. And he's teaching how we need to learn to receive correction, especially from the Lord, from his word. God's not beating us all over the head. It corrects us from his word. We receive. We don't need to be corrected by circumstances or by love. No topic for another day. I choose to be a sweet water fountain. I choose to be a sweet water fountain. I use my words to bring life and health to my flesh and life and health to my bones and life and health. I use my words. And, you know, you see, I'm trying to tell the person how stubborn the person is. It might not work. You only cause more fights for yourself and create more argument and say, it might not work, right? It's the Holy Ghost that gives people revelation. It's the Holy Spirit that gives people revelation. Share the word. Make your points where you need to. Let's reduce. And I told you I've been guilty of that. You're trying to describe a situation and then you're using words. That's a very silly thing. And then you're using, I didn't call you silly. I was trying to say, we don't need that. I choose to be a sweet water fountain. We'll correct where correction needs to be made. We'll say things where things need to be said. Yeah. Even children, we need to discipline them where and how we should. But then we must be careful with words. We must be careful with thoughts. I choose to be a sweet water fountain. I choose to be a sweet water fountain. I choose to be a sweet water fountain. I nourish my life with words, and I'm blessed by those words. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation of your spirit. Thank you for the things that you've taught us and how that we now can take the right words and rearrange our lives and use our words and tongue as a steering wheel of our destiny, according to James 3, and direct our lives from where it is to the glorious destiny you've prepared and provided for us. We can now use our words. We are now the captain, and our tongues are the rudder. And we use that tongue set on fire by the Holy Spirit. And we use our tongues to drive our lives in a holy direction. Thank you, Father. We break curses. We break limitations. We break hindrances by the words of our mouth. We speak and mountains are moving. We speak from the abundance of our hearts and things are aligned for us. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this mighty revelation. And I ask that every hearer, everyone watching, that will watch later and listen also later, that we are strengthened with might, that his words would abide in our hearts and we're helped by the Spirit to keep them, to retain them, and to walk in them. Thank you, Father. I pray for everyone that this year will be fruitful, that our words will be fruitful, and it will bring forth fruitfulness in all areas of our lives. Thank you. Thank you, Father, because this revelation will dawn on us more and more, more and more. And by our words, we'll bring forth light, light into our lives and light into situations all around us. And we'll dispel darkness and we'll disarm the enemy and we'll win victories. We'll win the battles again and again because we understand now that words are with which we fight, with the shield of faith, with the sword of the Spirit. It's all words, and we win by these words. We give you praise. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. So please use your words. Take charge. All right? Take charge. Take charge. Take charge. Wake up in the morning, at night, midnight. Use your words. Drive out. Create. The confessions don't have to be long, but they just can be consistent. Can be one verse. Psalm 23, verse 1. You've heard me talk about that. If you've heard me a lot, the Lord's my shepherd, I do not lack anything. House, car, wife, job, baby. You know, just one verse. And you believe it, you say it. I do not lack strength. I do not lack health. And the enemy knows this guy is not lacking anything. This guy is, you know, and then you stay on it. So I appreciate your time. Thanks for the extra 7 minutes. I appreciate you. This will be available tomorrow. We're working on everything, you know, so that you'll get the, it will be on YouTube. So just send you the link. If you do not get, I noticed some people might not get emails from us. Please check your spam mails, your promotions and anything. But please tomorrow, maybe Tuesday later, just go straight to my YouTube channel, Larry Rex and Osanya. The videos will be there, but we'll send the emails out tomorrow. Please, please, please. And if you need to communicate for any reason, please send an email to wordoftoday @gmail.com. Thank you so very much, so much. Please share the video when it's out. Bless as many people as you can with it. And then let's spread the word.